Okay, thank you very much. Why don't we, does everybody have a song sheet? You don't have to stand or anything. You don't have to sing, but if you like to sing along, let's just listen to this hymn again, this Christmas hymn. Okay, thank you, Wes, for the piano, playing that. Okay, thank you very much. Heard a story. Was this on the radio, Eve? This little boy? On the news? 8 years old? And it was in New Jersey, Massachusetts. The teacher asked him, what do the holidays mean to you? And this little boy drew a cross. They sent him home and had him psychoanalyzed. Yeah. So. It's gonna get worse. Social engineering. Okay. Let's see. Let's talk about some prayer. We need to be in prayer for Tish as she's going through her treatments. And let's see. She sent me a little note. One of the treatments is a treatment I used to take. And so I know about it. Didn't know about some of the others. So, I'm sorry. They're going to do stem cells therapy. Yes. And so let's just continue to be in prayer for Tish that her body will respond to the treatments and heal. My goodness, she's stage 4, so need to be in prayer. Need to be in prayer for Nathan. He leaves Sunday. He's supposed to leave Sunday. Okay, be in prayer for Nathan. Shipping out to Baghdad. Okay. And 18 months. 18 months, okay. Need to continue to be in prayer for Molly at this time. And how's her business doing right now?
Her business is doing really well.
Yeah.
She's trying to keep up, spend a lot of hours to cooking food.
Yeah.
No, she's adamant. She's moving out.
The cold weather's coming in.
Well, that, and I think when she's down here, my wife and my sister are going to go look house hunting.
All right.
My wife is always, well, there's a house over here, and there's one down here that's for sale.
And tell her we'll have her cook for us.
She'll get paid for that.
Yeah, well, she'll get paid. Hey, what do you think I am? I'm no Italian. So, yes, be in prayer for Alicia. And need to be in prayer for Sharon. And Judith's my friend who's had chemotherapy and not doing very well, so we need to be in prayer for her. Let's see.
I talked to Cindy Edwards tonight.
Yeah.
And we need prayer for Wes, her son-in-law, Wes's mother also,
okay.
And then Cindy's name.
Okay. So we need to remember those in prayer. Please remember those in prayer. Need to be in prayer for each other in this assembly. And need to be in prayer for this country. And John, yes.
I was just going to say, Julie's little friend, Stephanie, that had surgery on Monday.
And how old?
She's about 30.
About 30.
They removed part of her lung. And, of course, it was definitely cancer. But she's doing real well.
Good.
I mean, they feel like it was contained, and they feel like that she's going to be okay.
And her name is Stephanie.
Yeah. She's a little baby, 20 months old.
Okay.
So that's...
Be in prayer.
That's tough.
Okay. Let's see. Need to be in prayer for each other. We need to be in prayer for this country. John Hintz. Yes.
What do we pray for? President Truman?
Did you see the movie Fiddler on the Roof?
Yes.
Remember when they asked the rabbi, all the young students, and said, "Is there a blessing for the Tsar? Is there a blessing for the Tsar?" And he goes, "Oh yes, may the Tsar be blessed to stay where he is and not come around here." And I'm sorry, the best thing I know to pray, and this is what I pray, is that he will not do unrepairable damage to this country. Just not that he'll not be able to do that. Now, John Hintz sent me, now he sent me an email, and then he called. And he said, Herman, you have got to watch this email. Did you get to watch it? Listen to it?
I haven't had a chance to do it yet.
Okay.
I haven't had time.
Okay. And if you would like, I will send it to you, forward it to you.
Is it on YouTube? Can they go through YouTube to get it? Or is it just...
Sweetheart, okay. I don't know what YouTube is.
YouTube.
I don't know what YouTube is.
When we were watching it, it said YouTube.
Oh, okay.
Herman refuses, then I'm right with him.
But if you don't YouTube, you can let me know and I'll send it to you. But
powerful.
It's by a retired lieutenant colonel, and he's a black man. Out of Florida, he's running for a Senate seat in Florida.
Oh, yeah,
and oh,
he was on O'Reilly. John
Hannity.
Yeah.
What happened on the Hannity show?
Well, they played the thing. I'm sure it's on YouTube.
Oh, wow.
The speech that he gave.
Oh, that is awesome. Well, okay, John sent me two. Sent me about a minute and 30-second one, and then a long one, and I haven't got to listen to the long one myself. But man alive, I loved his. In fact, I called. If you heard that, did you hear that? On the Hannity. Okay. Well, he says there's one word, and I'm thinking it's freedom. One word. He goes, ban it. It's time for us to take this country back. So I called John and I said, well, Judith and I are taking back our clothes we bought for each other and we're going to give each other a bayonet. He laughed. But, I got some weapons I can put it on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You bet.
They also interviewed him.
Okay. How was that?
He was fabulous. He was really good.
Wow.
Oh,
he is unbelievable. He sees the problem.
He reminded me of J.C. Watt, you know, the senator from Oklahoma.
Yes, yes, yes.
He's that conservative.
Wow.
This man has been in the military.
Yes, Lieutenant Colonel. Oh. Now, I wonder if that interview on the Hannity would be on YouTube.
Yes, I'm sure somebody would.
Yeah.
It was last night?
It was last night on Hannity? Okay.
He's powerful.
But he is just unbelievable. I'm sorry? He's been on? Okay. Well, I can't imagine him not pressing him and pushing him. And he is just, he wants to know why the Republican Party hasn't embraced him. And I can tell him why. So we can be in prayer for him. I wrote John back after I did. I said, John, I'm going to tell you something. I'm serious. This is the first voice that I've heard that's given me hope for this country. I mean, I love Sarah Palin, but I'm sorry. She just didn't revive that hope in me. But boy, he did. Have you heard him, Eve?
I was just talking to him. I'm not sure. I saw one a long time ago. Or midsummer, and I was trying to wait and see if it was the same fellow. So if you'll email that to me.
Okay, do that. But they're just powerful. Man, a laugh.
Impromptu questions. He is so
He
sharp.
Is sharp. Good.
Really sharp.
Oh, that's good.
And to the point and the great answers.
Oh, wow. Man.
Voice in the wilderness. Voice in the wilderness.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness. I just couldn't believe it. I did. I called John and said, this is the first time I've got any kind of hope. And Tish and Leslie get upset with me. They'll send me something. And, you know, how the horrible things are. And I went, the people don't care. No one cares. So I sent it to her. And I said, here's somebody who cares. And I think he has it right on the head. So we need to be in prayer. I'm so sorry. After all of that, I forgot his name. Does anybody?
West.
Alan?
I can't remember the first name.
Yeah, Alan.
West.
All right. West, okay. All right, so we need to be in prayer for Wes, and we need to be in prayer for Wes, our own Wes, and Sharon, and we need to be in prayer for each and every one of us, Pam, John, Kit. We pray for Kit's family. We're going to pray for you, Kit. Pray for Jim, Anel, Eve. Got to pray for Steve a whole
pray
lot.
For
just
me,
keep...
you skipped me over.
I'm saving the best till last. Just a minute. We need to be in further prayer for Steve, and need to be in prayer for Steve's neighbors. And and we need to be in prayer for Judith. I mean, she's married.
Most of all.
And being married, she needs prayer. She needs lots of prayer.
Does she need counseling, though?
No, she needs counseling. She needs for her husband to pick up things. She asked me all the time, how did you make it 67 years? I did quite well. I don't know how. I said, every time you came over my house, wasn't it clean and nice? She said, yeah, you threw everything in the closet. I see you. But I'm under the conviction that if you take two sips out of a glass of water and you put the glass down, it ought to be there 2 minutes later. Not in the dishwasher already. Okay, let's begin, and I hope y'all are having a wonderful festive time at this Christmas season. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for these we've named tonight. We pray for all of those that are here, all those who will listen via the internet or CDs, whatever, all over. We pray for Don Becker that his eye will heal. We pray, Father, for each other. Pray for this country. We've enjoyed the freedom that we've had to grow in the Word, to assemble ourselves, to teach the Word as we see fit. And Father, even in my own life, the first 20 years it was wrong how to be filled with the Spirit, but I appreciate the freedom that let me do that, even under you and your freedom that you give in your Son. And I appreciate the freedom to let the Spirit show me the truth and teach that truth. We love this freedom, Father, and pray that our grandchildren and children will be able to grow up and go to churches where the truth is taught. And now, Father, we pray in regard to our study tonight, after Jesus Christ and the 11 disciples left the upper room, Jesus Christ gave them a dissertation on bearing fruit, on abiding in Him. So now, Father, we pray that your Spirit will open our eyes to the things you would have us to see in this great passage. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, chapter 15 of the Gospel of John, verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. You are not able to do anything. And that means bearing fruit or anything else. And that brings us to verse 6 now. Verse 6. So, in verse chapter, let me get there with you. John 15:6. John 15. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them, cast them into the fire, and they are burned. So this is where we left off. And Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit are one of the primary differences in Christianity and all the religions of the world. You do good for Allah. You do good for Buddha, but you can do nothing for your God. You can do nothing for Jesus Christ. Do nothing for the Savior. And your state of offering Him anything is total depravity. and under Allah, you murder infidels, Jews and Christians. You're just all these different religions have different things that they hate. But in Christianity, God does everything for you. And all you have to do is to receive what He does by faith. This causes a great problem for many Christians and religious people. They take a passage like this one, fruit-bearing, and they see nothing but works. They see nothing but fruit-bearing, bearing fruit. We have to do for God. So we have to ask the question, who's right? Do we bear fruit for God? That's what a lot of Christians believe. A lot of religious people believe. They get all worked up when it's something, when they see something like this that they can, that they have to do for God. And they put trees in the foyer and bearing fruit. And you go out and you put fruit on a tree. I know about that stuff. And all these type of things going on. And they get all mixed up when you say, we can do nothing. We cannot even work. God has to do it all. Oh, but we have to bear fruit. That's what it says. We have to pray. We have to give money. We have to study. We have to learn. We have to do all these things. And that's what we have to do for God. And the answer, can we do anything for God? Can we, in our flesh nature, do anything for God? God must do them in and through us people. He does them by the work of the Holy Spirit when we walk by faith in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's that simple. Multitudes will not see it. Just letting you know, you go to another church, hear another preacher on this very passage, and I'm telling you, it's going to be about working. It's going to be about you getting out there and you bearing fruit. I'm telling you that we can bear no fruit. We have to allow the Spirit to bear fruit through and in us. Verse 6, another one of those verses used to prove loss of salvation. This is a horrible verse to a lot of boy. Here, you can lose your salvation. Here it is, right here. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away. See, that's loss of salvation. As a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they burn in hell forever and ever. That's not what the passage is saying. But if that's what you want to see, there it is. And we have seen so many times from Isaiah 28. We haven't looked there in a long time. But Isaiah 28, the Bible is written. Or if you want to see works, it's there. You want to see grace through faith, it's there. What's your view of God? So this verse is used by those to seek to teach the unfaithfulness of God and that you can lose your salvation. Romans 3, God is faithful. John 15, verse 6, see, God's not faithful. You can lose your salvation. He's not faithful to keep you saved. Others claim this refers to a different group than those talked about in the last three verses. People, these are believers. There's no change in the audience here. So that is a false claim. So first it should be observed what Jesus Christ did not say. He does not say, if a branch does not abide in me, he is cast out. It doesn't say that. Okay, let's take a look at what it does say. Verse 6, the first word, that word, if. And we know we could just spend an hour on the word if. There are four classes, actually, conditions. This is third class. Maybe so, maybe not. Anyone, believer. That's the whole context. This has been addressed to and talked to believers. Does not abide in me. Aorist active subjunctive. Same word used three times already. Aorist subjunctive lets us know this is a choice that a believer makes. Every believer makes this choice to be in fellowship or out of fellowship. To be in the Holy Spirit, be out of the power of the Spirit. Abiding in Christ, not abiding in Christ. Then we have the word abide. We've looked at it. Let's just note, passing this way, it is translated in various lexicons to continue to exist, remain, last, meaning you bear it out, you last through it, persist, means continue to live. These are just out of lexicons. Continue to live. Person or thing remains where he is. He or she or it is, in a transfer sense, of someone who does not leave a certain realm or sphere, to remain, to continue, to abide, continue to live. Of the relationship in which one person or thing stands with another. In John's writing, thus to remain in with someone, to remain united with him, one with him in heart and mind and will, means that you abide and you remain, you continue to live in the power of the Spirit throughout our lives, day and night, people. We are to remain in the power and the leading of the Holy Spirit, who will in turn cause us to remain in Christ, and it will also cause Christ to remain in us. The pattern: we are brought to God the Father by faith in Jesus Christ. We are now brought to Jesus Christ by faith in the Holy Spirit. We cannot lose our union with God the Father. We can stop abiding in Jesus Christ very easily. All you have to do, stop walking by faith. So we're to remain in Christ. We are to live in Christ, which means we are to live in the third member of the Godhead, God the Holy Spirit, in order to abide in the person of Jesus Christ. If anyone, these believers, is not in fellowship in me, does not abide in me, he is cast forth. Okay, aorist passive indicative. Balo means to throw or to cast. The aorist tense is a point of time. It's just a point in time when we abide in him, point in time we're cast. Passive voice, we receive it. This is something that happens when you and I are not walking by faith in the Spirit. Fourth, it's an adverb. The adverb is translated forth, out, as opposed to within. Note something interesting here. This statement, cast forth, cast out, this could not be said of anyone who had not first been in Christ. It's not believer, unbelievers, it's believers. To be taken out of abiding in Christ, you have had to have abided in Jesus Christ. We all start off, after salvation, we start off abiding in Christ. Now, you may have only remained there 1 minute. Some people, I believe, remain longer in the Holy Spirit right after believing in Jesus Christ than they have any time in their life, because their mind just kept going with Christ and with God, and they're talking to someone, probably led them to Christ, and so they spend probably 5 minutes in the power of the Holy Spirit before the flesh came in. Maybe even longer. But you have to be in him before you can be cast out. It's a very important wording here. You have to be in, abiding in Christ to head forth out of Christ. Okay. And who does this? This is what God the Father does through the power of the Holy Spirit. So to abide in Christ, you first have to come to him by faith in him and in the Holy Spirit. So remember the context. Jesus Christ is speaking of our life as Christians, bearing fruit. Okay. If anyone is cast forth, the casting forth paralleled to the salt losing its savor. Salt loses its favor. You don't cease to be a believer. Very few people teach that. But a salt can lose its savor. Just don't walk in the power of the Spirit. Don't abide in His Word. So this believer is not condemned due to sins. These things happen because he's not walking by faith. Something more dangerous than just sins, people. What's more dangerous than sins? Not walking by faith. Not being in fellowship with the Holy Spirit and therefore abiding in Christ. And dries up. Error is passive indicative. Perfect picture of the useless life of a Christian who refuses to walk by faith in the Holy Spirit and dries up. People, he may be doing a lot of work. She may be doing a lot of work in the church. May be doing work on the mission field. May be doing preaching as a pastor, a deacon, a worker, whatever it is. Dry it up. Just dry it up life. It's a perfect description of our lives when we're not abiding in the Spirit. You just dry it up. There are a lot of these descriptions in the Bible. This is a good one. Dry it up. Passive voice means that when the believer does not walk by faith in the Spirit, he receives being dried up in his life. Just a dried up, may be active, may be full of energy in the flesh and doing this and doing that and hurrah. Dried up. Dried up. So remember that the Holy Spirit gives life. And if the believer does not walk in the Holy Spirit, dried up. Has no life. Dries up in Christian impact in the world during his life. And they gather them, cast them into fire, and they're burned. Three things. Description of three things. They gathered, cast into the fire, and they burn. Okay, first of all, note the change to the plural. They gather them. And cast them into the fire, and they burn. Not he will gather, he will be gathered. He will be cast into fire, he will burn. Doesn't say that. People were Bible students. We got to pay attention to the text. Does not say he will be gathered. It says they will be gathered. Doesn't say he will be cast into a fire. Says they cast into the fire. Doesn't say he will burn. It says they will burn. What is being talked about in the plural? What is being talked about here? People, this refers to that which dries up. It refers to dried up works. Wood, hay, and stubble. Dried up. Instead of beautiful fruit, instead of production of the Holy Spirit, they have the production of the flesh. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3. And we want to look, and if you're writing it down, we want to read 12 through 15. 12 through 15. 1 Corinthians 3, 12. Now, if any man builds upon the foundation with gold, silver, and precious stone, wood, hay, and straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire. And the fire itself. See, a lot of times people see burning and fire. They think of hell and the lake of fire. But it's going to be at the judgment seat of Christ, too. It's going to be kind of warm in a certain area of the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to stay as far away from that as possible. Okay? And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built upon it remains, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he shall suffer loss. Now note the next phrase. But he himself shall be saved, yet as though through fire. Okay, let's look at 2 John chapter 8. 1st and 2nd, 3rd John, we want to look at 2 John. 2 John has only one chapter. 2 John, verse 8. Watch yourselves, that you might not lose what we have accomplished, but that you may receive a full reward. Okay, let's go back to John 15 now. It is not the loss of salvation John 15, verse 6. It is not the loss of salvation. It is not the burning of believers. It's your view of God. That your view of God is that He saves somebody and then gets upset and burns them? No, it's not God. God is faithful. Study that in Romans. He is faithful. We're not faithful. He's faithful. If it was up to us, yes, we'd lose our salvation if it was up to us. But it's not up to us. It's up to God. And He maintains our salvation. He is faithful. Even if the believer fails, God remains faithful. It amazes me how some believers that you believe that you do not lose your salvation due to sin, for they know that Christ died for them and paid it. And yet they turn around and say, well, you can lose that. I don't understand that kind of thinking. I don't understand that kind of logic. Maybe they have a different view of God than I do. Maybe they have a different view of the cross than I do. Maybe they have a different view of salvation. But that you could lose your salvation, to me, is just blasphemy to God. They believe you can lose your salvation. And it just is amazing. And what's really, to me, fun here, loss of salvation, sin's not even involved. Did you notice that? Hadn't been talking about sin. You can lose your salvation if you sin. You can lose your salvation if you don't produce. What kind of God do you have? My goodness. It's just amazing how Christians want to take away, or maybe they're Christian, maybe not, they want to take away salvation from people. God made it so simple. They want to make it so difficult. God made it so assured. They want to make it unassured. It just amazes me what Christians do. I think they got too much time on their hand. They're not walking in the Spirit, being led of the Spirit. There is no loss of salvation, just the loss of reward. And the works are burned up. Let's look at Mark chapter 9. Matthew, Mark chapter 9. Yes. Oh, Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, verse 41. For whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because of your name, who as followers of Christ, truly I say to you, he shall not lose his reward. Verse 41. I'm sorry. Mark chapter 9, verse 41. For whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because of your name as followers of Christ, truly I say to you, he shall not lose his reward. Let's look at 1 Corinthians. Well, we read 1 Corinthians 3, so we got 3:14. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 9. We didn't look at that. 1 Corinthians 9. I'm just going over some verses rather than take a whole hour to do the doctrine of eternal security and all of this, and go back over the whole judgment seat of Christ. Just let a few verses speak to us as we go through this passage. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we want to read verse 17. For if I do this voluntarily, I have a reward. But if against my will, I have a stewardship entrusted to me. All right, what he's saying there is really interesting. You know, a pastor can preach the word out of the filling of the Spirit. And you can give money out of the filling of the Spirit. And just like we all have various things that the Holy Spirit's going to lead us that we know where to do, we can do them in the Spirit, we can do them out of the Spirit. So as you, at this time of the year, you give gifts and you regret it, you resent the money, you resent giving something to this person, don't do it. Either don't do it or get into the power of the Spirit. Get into spiritual love. But if you resent it, don't do it. It's just of no value to do that kind of thing. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10:35. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. Okay, people, what is confidence? Confidence is in the power of the Holy Spirit. Believe that if I walk by faith in the Spirit, He will lead me, He will guide me, and whatever I do is glorifying to God. That's great reward. Okay, one other issue. Let's go back to John 15. One other issue we need to look at here. They shall gather them, and they shall cast them into fire, and they are burned. Who are they doing the gathering? Who are they doing the casting? Who or what is the them being gathered and cast into the fire? What is they, and what is they that are burned? Okay, we've got a few questions we need to take care of before we can move on in this passage. And for the answer, let's look at Matthew 13. Matthew 13. Let's look at verse 41. 41 and 42. Matthew 13:41, the Son of Man will send forth His angels, and they will gather out of His kingdom all stumbling blocks. Now the NIV says everything that causes sin. The King James says all things that offend, not people, but things. NIV, everything that causes sin. King James, all things that offend, not people, but things. And those who commit lawlessness do evil. What is the evil? Rejection of Jesus Christ as Savior. That's the evil. Rejecting Christ as Savior. Verse 42. And will cast them into the furnace of fire. In that place there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I want you to know two things important here. One, angels do the gathering. We saw last night that angels, or did we get to it, but angels will take Lazarus to Sheol. And the rich man is laid in the grave, has a great big funeral. But the Lazarus is taken to Sheol or Hades by angels. So here the first thing we want to note, angels will do the gathering. Two, what is gathered? A, all things that offend, things, and B, them that do evil, to reject Jesus Christ. So there are two things gathered here, things and people. Now, in reference to the Gospel of John 15, verse 6, the first will be done at the judgment seat of Christ. This will be done at the judgment seat of Christ, wood, hay, and stubble. And the second will be, in our passage here, at the great white throne judgment. But where believers are involved, it's at the judgment seat of Christ, which we've spent time in studying on Tuesday night in the study of Revelation. So the lesson here is how you live your life like as a born-again believer. You can abide in Christ, or you can dry up. Just dry up. I think my mother said that. Just dry up. I think she meant be quiet. But you can dry up your life, or you can walk in the faith, by faith in the Spirit. Okay, let's go to John 15, verse 7. Chapter John 15, verse 7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done to you. Oh my goodness, here's another one of those verses that seem to give carte blanche to prayer. God owes us this. Well, we have to pay attention to things. First, this is not a verse on prayer in general. This is not a verse on prayer in general. Do not lose sight of the context. Verses 1 through 6, concerned with bearing fruit. Verse 7, with prayer. Verse 8 through 16, picks it back up on bearing fruit. So, we know one thing. This prayer has to do with bearing a fruit. Must understand that this prayer is directly related to praying in regard to bearing fruit. Now, some people take this verse on prayer and say that if you work hard enough, if you do good works and bear much fruit, God will answer whatever you ask in prayer. The only problem with that is experience has shown them wrong. I've done everything God asked me to do, and He won't answer my prayer. I prayed to keep our marriage. I prayed that so-and-so would not die. I prayed this and I prayed that, and it didn't happen. And we went ahead and got a divorce. This person went ahead and died. All these other things happened. So my children didn't, they didn't get invited to Harvard and all these things. People, we have to be very careful with prayer. Don't abuse prayer. Prayer abuse and false view of God give a false view of prayer. Let's look at 1 John 5. 1 John 5. First John chapter 5, verse 14. And this is the confidence which we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. So we have to know some preliminaries to our prayer life. Got to pray according to His will. There are two primary conditions to the answering of prayer. First, according to His will. According to His will. But how are you going to know what the will of God is? How are you going to know? Got to pray according to His will. Maybe it's not His will that Aunt Sally doesn't die. Maybe it's not His will I don't win the lottery. Maybe it's not His will that the marriage doesn't stay. Oh, how could that be? God not willing that? How do we know what God's will is? No one knows. It's that old evil thing, WWJD. What would Jesus do? And then they tell these kids to go out and do things. We don't know what Jesus would do. All I can tell you that I do know what Jesus would do, He'd walk in the power of the Spirit at any given circumstance, waiting for the leading of the Holy Spirit. That I can tell you. So, there's only one. There's only one who knows the mind of God, isn't there? Who is that? God the Holy Spirit. Who's inside of us? Who empowers us when we're walking by faith in Him? The Holy Spirit. Therefore, the first condition to answer prayer is to pray in the Holy Spirit. Look at Ephesians 6. Look with me at Ephesians 6. Verse 18. 6:18. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. Now, if the prayer is in regard to fruit, still want to be in the Spirit. If the prayer is you want to be in the power of the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. We need to be in prayer for each other. But you got to be on alert. What does that mean? That means we can be so easily distracted. Prayer is a mental thing. And they've shown that most people can't think very long. That's why they only have so many seconds on a movie with dialogue without the changing of something, the changing of the view of the camera and all this stuff. People get distracted. And whether you want to deny it or not, we all do. I'll tell you what, I've been praying. I look down. Boy, those shoes sure need shine. You know, I'm talking to God. And I look down. My shoes sure need to be shined. Boy, my fingernails are really getting bad. Right in the middle of praying to God. Good grief. We can be distracted. Got to be on alert. Got to be on alert. There's no verse that says it except the verse that says go into a closet. But you can't be in prayer and the phone ring. Oh, well, I'll talk to you in a minute, God. I got to get this. What? You're talking to God. What do you mean you got to put me on hold while you go get another line? All these other things, these things going on. People, we think too lightly of prayer. But this verse says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Holy Spirit. So the first condition of prayer is praying according to His will. And praying according to His will demands the leading of the Holy Spirit. According to His will, the Holy Spirit guides you here. This is not a carte blanche verse on prayer, as many like to take it. And therefore, so disappointed when God doesn't answer the prayer. I blame preachers for people getting discouraged to prayer. Preachers, oh, you just pray and ask God. Well, I prayed and asked God, and He didn't do anything. I'm tired of praying. Just not going to pray anymore. Tell you a funny story in seminary. Had a good friend. I won't give you his name because you may not like the story. But he was a good friend. We were good buddies. And his father died while we were in seminary. And so Dr. Walkie, Bruce Walkie, who was head of the Hebrew department, and this gentleman and I both were Hebrew majors, so he's head of a department we're in. Well, as was custom, Dr. Walkie thought it'd be a very wonderful spiritual thing, spiritual love, invite Bob in to talk, see if he's okay. So he invites, I'll give you his first name. He invited him in and said, why don't you just sit down? And he sat down and said, well, I thought we'd just go into prayer for your dad and all. And Bob goes, oh, I don't think praying for my dad's going to do any good. He's already gone. And Dr. Walkie looked at him like, are you crazy? And but it's just one's view of prayer. And we've got to stay spiritual with this thing, scriptural. Deal with God in truth with our prayers. And so let's talk about this. And then the first condition, prayer according to His will. The first condition of that is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now the second condition in our passage is, if you abide in me. Oh! Here's a condition of prayer. Are you abiding in your problems? Are you abiding in your circumstances? Are you abiding in the agony of what you want to pray about? Are you abiding in Him? It's just another way of saying, be filled with the Spirit, people. Just another way, if we'll see it. But do you see it? We get so occupied, we're abiding in our problems. Oh, God, look at this, and I got to pray, and I want you to help this. Are you inviting in Him? Is your first thought Him? Is your first thought what will bring Him glory? Is that your first thought? So let's look at our passage. If you abide in Me, and then the third condition, and My words abide in you. So we have two conditions here. Let's just stay with our text here. We have two conditions. If you abide in Me, and My words abide in you. Two conditions for answered prayer. And we hadn't even talked about what category of prayer this is involved in. So I don't want to just get started and have to repeat this. So this is where we'll start. Maybe next Wednesday night I might have a little special thing. I get the time, but so we'll either go into prayer next Wednesday, or maybe do a little special next Wednesday. We'll just see. Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. What an awesome God You are, Father. First of all, we would not even have record of this conversation between Jesus Christ and His disciples. We were not there. But because Your Spirit has given us this conversation for our edification, for our encouragement, for our understanding. Father, we depend so much on the Spirit because it'd be so easy to get disoriented. Make this a very heavy laden passage, when in fact it's a very uplifting passage about our life, that it doesn't waste away, about our life that it doesn't just dry up, but that it can be fruitful, it can add life. So Father, we thank You for this. Pray that You'll take these things, let them sink into our souls and then in our lives, Father. Pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you.